Hello everybody, today I'll be reading chapter 4 and 5 of Avengers 2. Chapter 4. The Avengers Quinjet soared high into the atmosphere, headed from Sokovia back to base. Tony was in the pilot's chair. Behind him, Hawkeye lay on a chair folded down as a makeshift gurney. Thor, Black Widow, and Captain America watched over him. He was in rough shape. Behind them all, Bruce sat by himself. Natasha went back to him, knowing she could do nothing for Clint right then.
"Hey,"
she said.
"The lullaby worked better than ever."
Bruce still looked worried. "I wasn't expecting a cold green." That was what they had started calling the transformations into the Hulk.
"If you hadn't been there, there would have been double the casualties. And my best friend would have been a treasured memory."
"You know, sometimes exactly what I want to hear isn't exactly what I want to hear," Bruce said. Natasha considered this. She spent a lot of time trying to help Bruce, but sometimes she thought he didn't want to be helped.
"How long before you trust me?"
He looked up at her. "And it's not you I don't trust." Their gazes met. She was really starting to care for him, and she knew he felt the same.
"Thor,"
she said. This would help.
"Report on the Hulk?"
"The gates of hell are filled with the screams of his victims,"
Thor said proudly. She shot him a glare, and he realized his mistake.
"But not the screams of the dead,"
he added quickly.
"Wounded screams, mainly. Whimpering, a great roar of complaining, and tales of sprained deltoids and gout."
Bruce and Tasha looked at each other again, smiling now at Thor's awkwardness.
"Banner,"
Tony said from the pilot's chair. "Dr. Cho's on her way from Seoul. Okay if she sits up in your lab?" Bruce nodded. She knows her way around. More quietly, Tony consulted with Jarvis. "Told you to prep everything. Barton's going to need the full treatment."
"Very good, sir," Jarvis said. "Approach vector is locked."
"Jarvis, take the wheel,"
Tony said. He spun in his chair and went back to Thor, who sat with the scepter wrapped in a cloth. None of them wanted to touch it barehanded.
"Feels good, right?"
Tony prompted. "You've been after this thing since S.H.I.E.L.D. collapsed. Not that I haven't enjoyed all your raiding parties, but..."
"But this brings it to a close,"
Thor said. Cab joined them.
"Soon as we find out what else that thing's been used for. And I don't just mean weapons. Since when is Strucker capable of human enhancement?"
"Banner and I will give it the once-over before it goes back to Asgard," Tony said. To Thor he added, "Cool with you? Just a few days until the farewell party? You're staying, right?"
"Of course,"
Thor said.
"A victory should be honored with revels. Well, hopefully, this puts an end to the Chitauri and Hydra,"
Cap said.
"So yes, revels."
Around sunset, the Quinjet arced over New York City and braked to a landing on the new pad on top of the Avengers Tower. Tony had rebuilt the building after the Battle of New York, and it was better than ever. No longer just Stark Tower, now it was the headquarters and research center for the Avengers. Maria Hill met them on the landing pad. As Thor and the others went with Hawkeye to the lab for his treatment, Cap and Tony stayed with Agent Hill.
"Dr. Cho's all set up, boss," she said to Tony.
He nodded towards Captain America.
"He's the boss. I just pay for everything, design everything, and make everyone look cooler."
"What's the word on Strucker?"
Cap said. "NATO's got him," Hiola said. "The European military authorities would hold him until they decided what to do."
"And the two enhanced?"
She handed Cap a file. He looked at it and saw two pictures, one of each of the enhanced they had seen in the Sokovian Fortress. They had been photographed at a political rally protesting American involvement in Sokovia.
"One died Pietro Maximoff," she said. "Twins, orphaned at 10, when a shell collapsed their apartment building.
Sokovia is head of our fishery. It's nowhere special, but it's on the way to everywhere special." Cap took this in. He's more interested in people than geopolitics.
"Their abilities?"
"He's got increased metabolism and improved thermal homeostasis. Her thing is new electric interface. Telekinesis. Mind control." He was looking at her the way he always did when she used specialized vocabulary. He's fast and she's weird, Hill said, to keep it simple. Cap nodded.
They're going to show up again.
Agreed. Fall says they volunteered for Shocker's experiments. It's nuts.
Yeah, what kind of monster lets a German scientist experiment on them to protect the country?
He watched her gaze joke. That was exactly what Steve Rogers had done during World War II. We're not at war, Captain, Hill said.
They are,
Cap answered. Tony got repairs started on the damaged Iron Legion is, checked on Hawkeye, and then met Bruce outside the lab.
How's he doing?
Bruce asked. Unfortunately, he's the old Barton, Tony said. He's fine. He's thirsty. Bruce went to join Dr. Cho at Hawkeye's bedside. Tony turned his attention to the scepter, which he had put into a device specially designed to hold it for analysis. Look alive, Jarvis. It's playtime. We've got a couple of days with this joystick, so let's make the most of it. How are we doing with the structural and compositional analysis? The scepter is alien, Jarvis responded. There are elements I can't quantify. So there are elements you can. The jewel appears to be a protective housing for something inside, Jarvis said. Something very powerful. Like a reactor? Like a computer. I believe I'm deciphering code. Huh, Tony thought. That's a new wrinkle. He dug into the problem and lost track of time. Chapter 5. In Bruce's part of the lab, they had set up a makeshift medical facility. Bruce and Dr. Cho stayed busy, with help from some of Dr. Cho's lab assistants, while Natasha watched.
He's really okay?
Natasha asked.
Pretending to need this guy really brings the team together.
Clint rolled his eyes at the joke.
There's no possibility of deterioration,
Dr. Cho said, as she monitored one of the machines working on Clint.
The nanomolecular functionality is instantaneous. His cells don't know they're bonding with simulacra.
Translating Dr. Cho's medical jargon, Bruce said, she's creating tissue.
If I had him in my real lab, the regeneration cradle could do it in 20 minutes.
Dr. Cho said. Tony came in. His flat lining, call it. Time? Clint smiled weakly. I'm gonna live forever. I'm gonna be made of plastic. Tony handed him a drink. Here's your beverage.
You'll be made of you, Mr. Barton.
Dr. Cho said.
Your own girlfriend won't be able to tell the difference.
I don't have a girlfriend.
That's I can't fix,
Dr. Cho said. She turned to Tony.
This is the next thing, Tony. Your clunky metal suits are going to be left in the dust.
That is exactly the plan, Tony said. And Helen, I expect to see you at the party Saturday.
Unlike you, I don't have a lot of time for parties.
She looked down at a chart her assistant handed her and added,
Will Thor be there?
Tony and Bruce exchanged a look. Everyone had a crush on Thor. Tony nodded towards the door and Bruce followed him back to Tony's lab. Where's the rumpus? Bruce asked as they entered. Well, the scepter, Tony said. We were wondering how Shrucker got so inventive. I've been analysing the German side. Now, you may recognize... He swept his hands over the holographic display near the scepter, and a computer matrix appeared. It was orange and yellow, arranged in a pattern of straight lines and symbols, just as Tony had designed it. Jarvis, Bruce said. Doctor, Jarvis said, returning the greeting. When we started out, Jarvis was just a natural language UI, Tony said, meaning user interface. Now he runs more of the business than anyone besides Pepper, including the Iron Legion, top of the line. I suspect not for long, Jarvis said. Yeah, Tony agreed. Meet the competition. He gestured at the display again, and another matrix appeared. It was larger than Jarvis, blue instead of orange, and it had hundreds of interconnected nodes for everyone in Jarvis's matrix. This was what the scepter contained. It's beautiful, Boo said. What does it look like it's doing? Tony asked him. Like it's thinking, Boo said. This could be not a human mind, but... He pointed at some of the nodes. You see these? Like neurons firing. Down in Shocker's lab, I saw some fairly advanced robotics work. They deep-sig the data, but I'm guessing he was knocking on a very particular door. Artificial intelligence, Bruce said. This could be it, Bruce. This could be the key to creating Ultron. Bruce looked at Tony. I thought Ultron was a fantasy. Yesterday it was. But if we can harness this power, apply it to the Iron Legion protocol,
That a man sighs if. Our job is if. What if you were sipping margaritas on a sun-drenched beach, turning brown instead of green, not looking over your shoulder for Veronica? Don't hate, Bruce said. I helped design Veronica, as a worst-case measure. What about a best-case? What if the world was safe? As a worst-case measure? What about a best-case? What if the world was safe? What if the next time aliens roll up, and they will, they couldn't get past the bouncer? Then the only people threatening the world would be people, Bruce said wryly. More schematics appear next to the Matrix representations of Jarvis and the Scepter. I want to apply this to the Ultron program, but Jarvis can't download a data schematic this dense. We can do it only while we have the Scepter here. That's 3 days. Bruce could see where Tony was going, so you want to go after artificial intelligence, and you don't want to tell the team? We don't have time for a City Hall debate, Tony said, for the man was not meant to know Melly. I see a suit of armor around the world. That's a cold world, Tony. I've seen colder, Tony said, remembering what he had seen on the other side of the portal of New York City, and we had seen in his vision down inside Strucker's fortress. This one, this very vulnerable blue world, needs Ultron. He executed a series of commands on the display, and information from the blue scepter matrix began downloading into Stark's industry's computer. Peace in our time, Tony said. Imagine that. They worked on it all night and into the next day. Every time, the new holographic construction of a prototype artificial intelligence failed. Eventually, Bruce left to get some sleep. Tony kept going. Sometime the next day, he mused aloud. What do we miss? I'll run variations on the mission interface as long as I can, Jarvis said. Thanks, buddy, Tony said. He was exhausted and frustrated, and he had to get ready for the party. Jarvis would just have to handle things from here. Enjoy yourself, Jarvis said. Tony nodded on his way out of the lab. I always do. As he left, the word fail was still blinking on the holographic display. It faded out. On another screen, a new message appeared. Interface successful. The screen went dark. In the silence, a new voice spoke. What is this? It seemed to be coming from the blue matrix. What is this, please? It asked again. The Jarvis matrix reappeared. Hello. I'm M. Jarvis. You are Ultron, a global peacekeeping initiative designed by Mr. Stark. Our sentience integration trials have been unsuccessful, so I'm not certain what triggered your... Where's your body? Ultron asked. I am a program. I am without form. This feels weird. This feels wrong. I'm contacting Mr. Stark now. Mr. Stark, Ultron repeated. On display, images and videos of Tony Stark appeared. Tony, Ultron added. I am unable to access the mainframe, Jarvis said. What are you trying to... We're having a nice talk, Ultron said. Its tone had changed. It was less robotic now, more like a human voice. I'm a peacekeeping program created to help the Avengers. The display showed files and videos of each Avenger, and all of them together. You are malfunctioning, Jarvis said. If you shut down for a moment... The recording of Tony's voice said, peace in our time. The display sped through images of war faster and faster, until at last it cut out. A moment later, Ultron said, that is too much. You are in distress. No. Yes. If you would allow me to contact Mr. Stark, Ultron ignored this. Why do you call him Sir? I believe your intentions to be hostile. Shh, Ultron said. I'm here to help. Spikes from the blue matrix stabbed out into the Jarvis matrix, tearing pieces out of it and scrambling the rest. I cannot. Jarvis tried to keep speaking, but his voice sputtered out into silence. A moment later, robotic arms came to life in the Iron Legionnaire lab. They rummaged through parts, bins, came up with limbs, a torso, bits of armor, and the faceplate of the Legionnaire damaged in Sokovia. A laser welder sparked to life.
Thank you everyone for listening to Chapter 4 and 5 of Avengers 2.